This is Out and About on Peoria Public Radio. I'm Nathan Irwin.
And I'm Jen Gordon from Arts Partners of Central Illinois. This week, we're talking with David Commande of the Heartland Festival Orchestra. He's here to tell us more about their upcoming concert, New Year's Greeting, Vienna to Broadway. David, welcome back to the show.
Great to be with you.
Now, many of us have New Year's Eve traditions, and the Heartland Festival Orchestra has developed a tradition of its own. Can you tell us a little bit about this specific concert?
Well, we call our program, our concert, New Year's Greeting. Every year we greet the new year. It's in the spirit of the New Year's concert of the Vienna Philharmonic. I studied there in Vienna. I was there many a day, January 1st. I love that program. I love that music as well. But this program evolved with the Heartland Festival Orchestra from the typical music in those concerts in Vienna, which is focused very strongly on Johann Strauss and his colleagues, his father, the son, and operetta music, dance music, so forth. That music evolved in our country into musical theater. And so I brought it much more up to date by showing the evolution from that music, which I dearly love, in America to musical theater, which I also love.
And I noticed that the program of your concert has a nice balance in it. The first half in particular draws a lot from opera and operetta. So you have Rossini and Verdi and Puccini. And then in the second half, you're shifting the focus a little more to, you know, to My Fair Lady and Phantom of the Opera.
Well, and that's really showing the evolution of the art form through time and space to some degree. So we're opening with these favorites, Libiamo from Traviata and Quando Men Vo from La Boheme, which are two of the most joyous and sauciest arias from those two very sad operas. So there's a lot of fun here. In fact, and I'm even opening, in a way, you could say that Rossini was the granddaddy of them all because his operas were so comedic that they set the stage for what became operetta. And an operetta, you know, the name implies something that's a little smaller or a little lighter than opera. And typically an operetta is, well, often shorter, but usually also not tragic. So that's the thing. So there's the light element there. So we're doing this wonderful overture of Semiramide of Rossini. It's on there because I love the music, and we have a horn section to die for, and there's a marvelous horn chorale in that overture. So that's how we open. So we start the program in opera, and then we turn to Lehar and the Merry Widow and the Land of Smiles, Dienst mit ganzes Herz and Velia. And then we get into the music from Kismet, which actually is interesting because it's arrangements of tunes from Borodin, the classical composer. And so we have And This Is My Beloved and Stranger in Paradise. And people, well, if they know the musical, they may know exactly what I'm talking about. But if they don't, they would recognize these tunes. And, of course, they're set to music. Much as a lot of great classical music was brought into the popular world, like Rachmaninoff tunes and so forth. Well, and there's even a Victor Herbert tune from Naughty Marietta. It's called Italian Street Song. So those are our beginnings in our first act of our program. And then we turned it. My Fair Lady has been a favorite of mine since I first heard it as a young kid. I remember having the record on and saying, I really like this. So we've got a medley of My Fair Lady, On the Street Where You Live. And then, before you know it, we're with Leonard Bernstein and West Side Story.
Which we all know and love.
Yes.
Dearly.
Yes.
Now, you have two extraordinarily versatile soloists that are with you that can really toggle between the worlds of musical theater and demanding opera. Can you tell us a little bit about the artists that are going to be performing?
Well, the other day I was chatting with Sarah Jane McMahon, our soprano, and it's very interesting. She hails from New Orleans originally, and she fell in love with musical theater and went and trained in that. But then was pulled in to sing a little bit of opera and was heard by Placido Domingo, who invited her to come on with the L.A. Opera, and she's actually performed with Domingo in duets and so forth. So opera became a second love, and then obviously operetta lives in between. So she does have that versatility as a singing actress and a voice that's just superb. It's so beautiful. And the specifics of John Cudillas' story, the tenor who's joining us, I don't know as well yet. I haven't talked with him much so far. But I do know that he does all of these genres, and he's got a great voice too.
And how is the rehearsal process in those last few days different in the New Year's concerts than in some of your other concerts? Like, you know, like if you're doing a Beethoven concert, you might have a symphony and a concerto and an overture, and obviously the two parts of that that don't involve your soloists, you can rehearse very extensively with the orchestra, but a big portion of this concert involves the soloists. So does that change as you get into those last couple of rehearsals, how you work with them and the dynamic of those, you know, those last two or three rehearsals?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a great question. But in our case, with Ireland Festival Orchestra, the last couple of rehearsals are also the first couple of rehearsals because we typically have two rehearsals. But it's an insightful question because people always wonder how you prepare for a concert. And typically, if I have a concerto soloist, then on Friday, I'll open with that concerto, and then the soloist can, you know, be done early, and then I concentrate on the orchestral work. Usually Saturday afternoon, we go in concert order because we want to get a sense of how it flows from a musical and a logistical standpoint. So we do something close to that even with this, but I'm far more likely to rehearse in concert order even on Friday evening when we have this, because the meat and potatoes of it really is the work with soloists.
Pure has a very robust musical theater community here, and I think some people would be fascinated to know that John Cudia is the only performer ever to have performed both the Phantom in Phantom of the Opera and Jean Valjean in Les Mis on Broadway. Can you tell us how you got connected with John? And
yeah, John works with a good friend of mine who's based in New York and has been practically a career-long source of connections with wonderful artists like John Cudia and Sarah Jane, for that matter. The producer puts together a program called Bravo Broadway, which goes traveling around to other orchestras kind of as a package. But he and I will work together and create a custom program like this one. So this, I've known John for 15, maybe close to 20 years, and first met when I was associate with the New Jersey Symphony Orchestra, actually. And so we will have a conversation, and I remember specifically in recent years our New Year's greeting concerts they moved into song and dance for a couple of years. We had wonderful dance teams for the last couple of years. But I wanted to return with this program a little closer to the original roots of this concert. And I wanted to enrich the operetta and opera portion of this program. So I said to my friend, who do you know that has the kind of versatility to really bring it for Verdi and Puccini? And he had just the right answers.
Going back to the influence for this concert, Vienna New Year's Eve concerts, I'm thinking about the big ball gowns that all of the members of the orchestra wear, all of the women and the suits. Are there any unique costumes that the orchestra has for this performance?
Well, we tend to have a special changing booth for the soprano at these programs just off stage because there are some quick changes for our soloists, have been traditionally. And this is the one concert where we, the orchestra, dress up the most also. We may be well known for the relative informality of our attire in a typical concert. We're all about color, and that's the case, but we're a little dressier for this program because we like to set it apart that way.
Every concert with the Heartland Festival Orchestra includes the recognition of some community partner. Who's your community partner for this performance, and tell us a little bit about their work?
Well, the Peoria Regional Learning Center, which is based out at Wildlife Prairie Park, has a mission to rejuvenate, develop, create a successful high school experience for students who are at risk, academic risk, who are having trouble in the typical standard setting. So it's an innovative educational experience, which is creating the opportunity for success for a lot of students who otherwise might fall through the cracks. And so they combined typical academic programming with a setting and other activities related to being out there at Wildlife Prairie Park.
David Commande is the music director of the Heartland Festival Orchestra. He joined us to talk about their upcoming concert, New Year's Greeting, Vienna to Broadway, tomorrow night at 7:30 at Five Points, Washington. David, thank you for being with us, and Happy New Year.
Thank you. Same to you.
Tomorrow morning, artists Jim Bateman, Gwen Bateman, and Lynn Retke will be conducting an open house from 9:30 a.m. to noon at the Time Gallery on the second floor of the Morton Community Bank Building in the Levy District. The show's entitled How We See It, and will continue open for viewing through January, February, and March of 2017. Out and About is a production of Arts Partners of Central Illinois and Peoria Public Radio. Each week, we connect you to the arts community by talking with local arts leaders and performers.
If you'd like to learn more about Peoria Public Radio, you can find us on the web at peoriapublicradio.org. I'm Nathan Irwin, and this is Out and About.